Romans 4, chapter 17, verse 17. And Paul is writing about Abraham, and he says, as is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. The chapter starts out with a verse that says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him or credited unto him for righteousness. We're at a point where we need to look at things the way God sees them. We're at a point where we need to stop confessing things that don't line up with God's word. We're at a point where we need to learn to trust, believe, and put our faith in God and not what we hear from people or the media. There are many people living in doubt and fear and unbelief because they believe everything that somebody tells them instead of looking at what God is saying. We need to come to a place when we understand that God has already been in the future. God has a clear picture of the future. Everybody else is guessing. So we do a lot of guessing, comparing the natural to the natural, looking at things through an image of our eyes that don't know what's coming. And God is comparing the supernatural with the supernatural. God is looking at things and it says, it doesn't matter what people are saying. I've been there. I created the future. I know what the future holds, and I hold it in my hand. So Paul said, I believe in him, God. I believe in him, God. Now the Bible tells us that faith is what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay. I don't have to have faith this morning for a Bible. Right? I got one. I need faith to see God perform what I haven't seen him do yet. I need faith to see liver cancer healed. I need faith to see a foot grow, new toes. I need faith to see our communities and our nation changed by the power of the Spirit. But I'm not going to get that faith by condemning and being negative about everything that's going on. Can I tell you something? Obama's not the reason that our nation's in trouble. Oh, I love the way you're shouting. It's really simple to blame him. Now, I'm not saying we haven't had better presidents. I'm not saying that. The reason that this nation is in trouble is that 60% of the people who call themselves Christians are not living like it, are not walking it, are not voting, are not going into places where God was sending them. And we're looking at things, and so we need a scapegoat, and he's an easy one. Okay, say it with me. I love pastor fearing. I know you're debating that already. And so everybody is saying, let's get a new government. Why? What changes? Government's not going to change the people's heart. Government's not going to bring morality to our nation. Government's not going to do the things that you're looking for. Only God can. Thank you, Barb. And so our part is to come to a place of belief, of trust, of confidence, of being sold out, of walking in the Spirit, of living in the Spirit, of having wisdom and insight into what's going on and what God is doing, and seeing restoration and transformation take place. I came in yesterday afternoon and read for an hour or so and came and sat in the sanctuary, and seemed like when I come in here this morning, people talk about hearing God. Talking about listening. And so in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 9, I believe it is, Solomon asked God for an understanding heart. How many remember that? So I said, I'm going to look up understanding heart. You know what that means? It means learning to listen. God, teach me to listen to you. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It's not the past word of God that brings faith. It's the current word of God that's being spoken into your life that you're taking hold of, and you're walking and you're living it out. It's hearing the word of God. It's a progressive hearing, not only from the book, but also from what he's speaking to your ears. You know, I know a couple verses, but I can't base my relationship with God on knowing a couple verses in the Bible. I need to know God. I need to know what he's doing. I need to know what he's saying. I need to know how he looks at things. Kirk mentioned insight and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and insight. It's all throughout Philippians and Colossians and Ephesians that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding. The word wisdom is insight. Spiritual insight. How many of us come to a place when we're facing things, we say, God, and I do this all the time. I sit down here and I'm talking to God. And I say, God, seeing that you already know how this ends, will you show me what you know? Show me what you know. I can't figure this out in my mind because 50% of the time I miss it. God, you've never missed anything. You have an understanding. You know what is going on and you know how to deal with it. Now, will you download into my spirit and into my mind what you know so I can handle this? Do you ever try to go target practicing with a rifle in the dark? With no night optics? What are you shooting at? You don't know. There's a target out there somewhere, but you can't find it. Because you can't see it. That's how I shoot in the light. Casey took me target. They used to have a pistol tournament thing here. So I never shot a pistol before. So I'm lining that pistol up and I'm firing away, and this guy next to me saying, how come I'm getting so many shots in my target? I know where they come from. But with Christ, we're not shooting in the dark. With Christ, he's giving us wisdom and insight and revelation into seeing what he sees. Into knowing what he knows. If every one of us would just come to a place when we're looking at things and we have no knowledge of what to do or how to handle it, and we just simply say, God, you know. Seems to me like I read somewhere where God gives wisdom liberally. He loves to give insight. He loves for us to know what he's doing and how to do it. Do you ever hire anybody? Okay. So when you hired them, do you ever tell them, I don't care what you do, just do something. How come? Well, you know, we kind of think that with God. God saves us and then he leaves us stranded out here to try to figure out what we're doing, try to accomplish what he wants us to do. That's not God. God's a perfectionist. His salvation is perfect, right? His wisdom is perfect. His love is perfect. Everything about God is perfect until he comes to us and he says, you guys just live your life the way you want. Doesn't work that way. You know, I tried it before. It didn't work. When the boss hires me, I believe the boss is going to tell me what to do and how to do it. And God's hired you. Not only hired you, but he adopted you. You're now his kids. Are we? How many believe you're his kids? How many don't know? Come on up here, get saved. So we're his kids. He's laying out a plan. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. He sent out 70 and they did that. He sent out 12 and they did it. He's sending out us to do the same stuff. You know, somebody brought up the fact, well, that's the preachers do that. No, it's the preachers God has trouble with. Hello? We need to hear some truth. We need to hear about the God. And look at this, and talking about believing. The God who gives life to the dead. Wow. Do you know something? Every one of you that know Jesus experienced that. Every one of us were dead in our sins and trespasses. We okay? Can we agree on one thing this morning? You're not going to agree on that either. Man, I'm going to take another offering and go home. I got to get over my depression before the Vikings play. God gives life to the dead. I was interested in Genesis chapter 2. And verse number 17, where it says, God formed man and breathed in man, and man became a living soul or a living being. God formed man. So I went to the Hebrew. I got to remember this. Kind of interesting what God did. How many think God just threw a bunch of dust together and blew on it? You know what happened? That dust would have been scattered all over. So that means God framed, God fashioned, God devised, God structured. It's like a potter taking clay and making a vessel. So God took dust and shaped it. How do I know that? Because the Bible says he breathed in his nostrils. Okay? God took dust, formed it, made a nose, and breathed in it. And man became a living being. God gave life to a bunch of dirt. You believe that? But even in that bunch of dirt, he structured it in the form of man. He fashioned it. You know, Kirk's trying to get a house done. You know, he'll have it done one day, and the next day the rapture will happen, but that's okay. But this week, what do you get? Some floor tile or what? Okay. So what if Kirk got some 2x4s and some 2x6s and a few bags of cement? And he just piled all that stuff up and said, "This is my house." He had everything there. If he piled it all up enough, he had everything there to be a house. But is it a house? So God could have fashioned man and just left him lay there. Would he have been a man? No. Still be dirt. And God didn't do that with you. God fashioned, designed, structured your life because you have value, you are important, you have honor, you are supposed to be respected, and God put that within you, that desire, and framed you and made you. And then God began to work on the inside, spiritually, and gave you life, resurrected a spirit within you, and you're alive. Say that with me, even if you don't feel it. Say, "I'm alive." I can't hear you.
I'm alive.
Still can't hear you.
I'm alive.
And so we don't walk around with our heads down and walking on our bottom lip and living a life of discouragement and walking in depression. You know how you can cure depression? Hear God. You say, "What are you talking about?" I believe it with all my heart. I believe that 50% of pastors' counseling would be done with if people would come into the sanctuary or wherever they're going and sit and listen to what God is saying. And don't argue with him. Amen? God knows you. God loves you. God accepted you. God has a plan for your life. God sees value in you. We look in the mirror and we say, "Oh, I'm nothing." Who said that? Who told you that? Who said you have no purpose? Who says you have no design? Who says that you're this or who says that you're that? Listen. Rebuke every voice that tries to discourage you because it's not God. Can somebody say amen besides Barb?
Amen.
Still can't hear you.
Amen.
And Jesus went beyond just Adam and Eve. Jesus came to a place where he raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised the widow of Nain's son. He raised Jairus' daughter. And you know something? Elijah and Elisha both raised the dead in the Old Testament. You can go back to 1 Kings. And then Peter raised the dead. A woman by the name of Dorcas or Tabitha. And Paul raised Eutychus, who fell out of a building because Paul was preaching too long. Don't ever say I preach too long. I haven't had anybody crash yet. He raises the dead. I've seen the dead come back to life. I know God does it. And you know something? A person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with just an argument. Do you hear me? You're going to walk out of here radically anointed by God, and somebody's going to take issue with it. Don't listen to them. When you go out and heal the sick or raise the dead or cast out demons, don't listen to what people are saying. Listen to God saying, "Get them!
Yes.
Sig them!" And he doesn't call you a mangy mutt either. Sig them. Because he calls the dead to life. Let's look at something else. The Bible says he calls the things that are not as though they were. Think about that. He calls the things that are not as though they were. Okay. How many have ever had somebody that you say they'll never get saved? How many looked at somebody and say, man, they're just of the devil? Let's ask God for a prophetic vision. Let's ask God to show us what that person is going to be like, not what they are. Let's start looking at our community through the eyes of God. Let's start looking through at our nation through the eyes of God, prophetically, having a revelation of God. Now, this is what people say. What are you saying? Let's look at sickness through the eyes of God. Let's look at the battles people are going through the eyes of God. Let's look at the marriage problems, the stress, the depression. Let's look at them through the eyes of God and realize that, friend, there's hope. There's hope for everyone here. And the Bible says, Paul, contrary to hope, in hope believed God. Against all hope. Can I tell you something? The doctor's not the ultimate authority of what's going to happen in your life. Thank you, Marilyn. I got two of you saying amen. You know, we often take what the doctor says above what the Bible says. We take what the doctor says or what a lawyer says or somebody else, because they're supposed to be wise, above what God is saying. And it's time we hear God first. I'm not here to offend anyone. I'm here because God is looking into your heart and saying, you are designed by me to walk in victory. God never devised your defeat. God never planned for you to fall. God never designed you to die of some sickness. God has designed us to represent Him. Yeah, and someday I will die, but I'm not going to do it because of sickness. You say, what are you talking about? I'm going to be Enoch. I'm going to still be here to bug you. But my spirit's going to be in heaven. Don't take me wrong. I want to be like Caleb. I want to walk at 80, 85 years old and say, God, I want that city. I want that state. I want that nation. I only got 13 years to go to be 85. No. 13 and a half. But you know something? God has designed you. Oh boy, we better have another saying. Okay, let's say this with me. God has designed me for a time like this. Can you accept that? Do it again. God has designed me. Okay, say it without me then. You are the hope through Jesus Christ for this region. We always think God's going to send somebody in to rescue Sisseton and Peaver and Rosholt and Browns Valley and Britton and Day and Marshall County and Webster and Wabe and the rest of them. God put you here to rescue them. Do you know that? The Bible says it is my purpose to train you for the ministry. You need to leave here or whatever church you're going to every week prepared to do the ministry of God in your region. How many can believe that? He didn't call 16 pastors and sisters to do it. He called us to pray for you. He called us to encourage you. He called us to help you. He called us to intercede for you. But you have the anointing of God in your body and in your hands to do the work of Jesus. Okay, how many believe that? How many says, I think I'll go to another church next week? You're commissioned. Do you understand that when he sent the 70 out, he didn't send the 12 with him? There's no place, as I read Luke chapter 10, that the 12 went along with him. If I'm wrong, show me. This is off the top of my head now. He just sent them out. You know something? It was before the day of Pentecost. Wow. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. God has more faith in you than you have in you. Do you realize that God trusts us? Us. Say us.
Us.
Say me.
Me.
Me, 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 me. Say it. God trusts us to reach this region for Him and to disciple the people and to train the people and to send them out and to disciple more people as they're discipling people and send them out. That's how it works. I know Kirk knows the answer to this. I was listening to somebody the other day on the radio traveling, and they were saying if you took one penny and doubled it for 30 days, what do you end up with? Come on, you got to remember, you're young. Yeah, it's crazy. Can you imagine if everybody wins one this week and they win one and they win one and they win one? You say, well, that's impossible. No, it isn't. The first message that was preached, 3,000 people got saved. The second, and that was men. They didn't count the women then, unfortunately. I'd like to probably 15,000. The next sermon that was preached, 5,000 got saved. Read it in the book of Acts. And it kept growing. In fact, as they accused the disciples of turning the world upside down. I'll take that. I'll take that. But right now, and I'm closing, right now we have to get rid of the idea, I can't. Because God can. God is not asking us to do something in our own strength or own power or own wisdom. He's saying, I'm living in you. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to show you who to go to. I'm going to show you how to pray. I'm going to do everything through you. You just let me do it. It's really true. It's really true. And it really works. He called the things that were not as though they were. Let's begin calling our communities the most spiritual places in America. Let's start saying that the sick are well. Let's start saying that the blind can see, the deaf can hear. You say, well, that's lying. No, it's not. It's faith. It's seeing what Jesus did. get stretched. I'm not saying there's no risk, and I'm not saying it's not inconvenient. But I'm ministering to a guy that can't get out, and he's watching TV and watching TV and watching TV and watching TV. How much TV can you watch? I mean, I watch my share. But how much can we watch without going nuts? Does it work? Are you nuts? Thought I'd ask. But how much can we? Life has to be more productive than just going home and turning on a television. There's a lot of people who just even are waiting for somebody to smile at them. Do you ever go shopping at Christmas and get behind a lady with a cart in a narrow aisle? It's dangerous. And so when you walk down that aisle with your hockey gear on and your shin pads and your helmet and all the stuff because it could be dangerous and you're smiling, people wonder what's going on. Or don't even have anything to return, just get stand in the return line. And just start praying for people. Why not? And you don't block people. You just keep going around to the back and working your way up and working your way back and working up, and you're praising God and you're worshiping God and you're touching people and you're ministering to them. Amazing. I should write a book. How to overcome the Christmas shopping spirit. But you know, it's a great life. And there can be nothing better than be walking in the Holy Spirit and He's leading you to fulfill the work of the ministry. Ministry doesn't mean pastor. Ministry means servants. We're serving God. But you could teach the Word of God, and you got experiences, and you got power, and you've got anointing, and you got confidence and trust in God. And those are the people we need out there. We used to have a sign on one of the walls or something, you're now entering the mission field as you leave the church. You're all missionaries sent by God to do the work of the kingdom. Amen?